Welcome back to His Time. It is time for Creation Club with Pastor Warren Worth. Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning, my brother.
Good to be with you again this Friday. How are things going for you this week?
Very well, and I hope they're going well for you too, other than the technical difficulties.
we're doing all right. We're getting by, so things are improving. What do we have lined up for Creation Club? I know there's a big rumble coming right around the corner, isn't there?
There is this big debate between Ken Ham and Bill Nye, the Science Guy. It will be at the Creation Museum on Tuesday, February 4th at 7 p.m. Central Time. So that would be 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Central Time. So let's be clear about that. 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, which is where the Creation Museum is,
mm-hmm.
6 p.m. Central Time, for those of us in the Midwest, St. Louis area. And it will be live streamed for free. And those who are interested can go to debatelive.org, debatelive.org. And the information about that is both at that website and at the answersingenesis.org website. It's getting a lot of publicity.
Mm-hmm.
Even some atheists are speaking out on it. Richard Dawkins commented on the debate. Basically, he has complete disdain for the Bible, for Christians, and for creation, and for people who believe in creation, like Ken Ham. And so, interesting to see his comments, because his comments are more name-calling than sitting down and being willing to talk about actual evidence. And he seems to have the idea that a debate with a creationist is a bad idea, because it makes it seem like creationists can be real scientists, and like there might actually be real science there. And he acts like, no, people who believe in creation are people like if you believed in the flat earth or something. So anyway, it should be a good debate. And if you have a church with the opportunity, the ability to show this live on a live stream, you might talk to your pastor or church leaders about whether you want to do that. Otherwise, we need to talk to people, for example, in the St. Louis area at Concordia Seminary or at the International Center or something like that, where there might be a venue where they could also show it. We're going to try to show it at our church, but I need to have my son help me with the technology, because I'm technically challenged. But anyway, it should be good to show the debate, and we hope many churches and individuals will show the debate. And then also, they are going to make a DVD of this, so after the event is over with, you can purchase the DVD. In fact, you can pre-order them now, and that would help to fund the expenses of this debate as well.
Excellent. Very good. I think it's going to be quite a debate. Is the word epic appropriate?
Well, and you know, I think the idea here is to show, hopefully those who do not believe in creation will be able to see that believing in creation is not anti-science. And I think that's kind of the one of the things that would come out of this, is that, you know, Ken Ham, and just as you and I, believes in creation because it's what the Bible teaches, but it's not against what the scientific evidence is. And when you look at the world around you and you say, oh, well, what do you know? What I see in the scientific realm actually goes with what the Bible teaches. The Bible does not contradict what we see in what God has created in the world, and what we see created in the world matches what we read in the book of Genesis, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's one of the good things we would hope would come out of this debate and open the minds, because many people who pride themselves in being intellectual are very closed-minded about this. They act as though there is no point of view other than the prevailing neo-Darwinian molecules-to-man evolution fairy tale. So hopefully they'll realize there's a lot of stuff that, you know, ties right in with what the Bible teaches about creation, so people will be open to re-examining this and look at what the Bible says, and particularly that will lead them to the cross of Jesus Christ, because that's really what it's all about, right? From
Certainly.
Genesis to Revelation, it's all about Jesus, the story of our salvation. So we hope people will be led to take seriously the message of the Bible and its central focus, which is Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life.
What did we have we had a story that we started last week, and
that's right.
We only got into it a couple of seconds because we had to wrap up. The Artie story.
That's correct. Maybe we can go back to that now. For our listeners, if you remember, there was a fossil that was found back in 1974 in Ethiopia, and the scientific name they gave it is Ardipithecus remittis, and they give it the nickname Ardi for short. And obviously, the name itself indicates that it's an ape, not a human at all. But and when, if you've ever seen photos of the evidence, the fossil evidence, a very partial skeleton and very badly fragmented. But scientists want to put this critter in their supposed evolutionary tree leading to human beings. And the question is, does its place, is it better a better example or an older example of apes turning into people than Lucy, another famous fossil? And the recent article is that some researchers who published their results in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, it's William Kimball and his colleagues, they are suggesting that Ardi was in the human ancestral line a million years earlier than Lucy. And what do they base their thinking upon? Well, it can't be the hands or the feet, because the feet have unmistakable opposable big toes. So clearly, Ardi was a tree dweller. But these people so want to believe in evolution and that the tree dwellers were becoming upright bipedal, that is, walking on their two legs, hind two limbs, that they're looking for some evidence that this would be the case. Well, what they decided to do was look at the skull, which is badly fragmented, and they took some pieces and they scanned them, and then they also used a whole lot of imagination. So they digitally rebuilt the skull for Ardi, and they took a few measurements of what could be measured, and the rest they just estimated, and lo and behold, they think that the skull is becoming more human-like. And particularly, it's the base of the skull where there's a large opening to allow the spinal cord to connect to the brain, and they think that, based on their reconstruction of the skull, that it's beginning to become positioned differently in Ardi, so that it's a little less like an ape and a little bit more like a human, with the idea that it's looking forward to the time when it will be bipedal, walking on its hind legs, walking on two legs instead of on four. And what's the long and short of this? There's a good article at answersingenesis.org, Did Ardi Head Up Human Evolution Before Lucy, written by Dr. Elizabeth Mitchell. And she walks you through step-by-step what the evidence is. And basically, once again, we have another example where there's an ape skeleton that they're trying to make seem more human-like, just like they sometimes take a human skeleton and try to make it seem more ape-like to try to bridge that gap between apes and human beings. But the fact is, and first of all, real science, actual observational science in biology, shows that there's no way that one kind of animal ever could or ever did evolve into a different, more complex kind of animal. So apes didn't turn into people, and people didn't turn into apes, and even this idea of a common ancestor is bogus. Scientifically, there's no way for that to have happened, and there's no evidence that it ever did happen. And when they try to produce the evidence, what they do is they take something like this, a very badly fragmented skeleton and a very badly fragmented, crushed skull, and they take little bitty pieces of it, measure them, and then reconstruct digitally, or sometimes they would, in the past, they would have done it manually, to make, you know, using a heaping helping of their own imagination and wishful thinking to say, oh, it looks to us like there's a little bit of change here indicating that the ape is turning more into a future human. And what's the take home from all of this?
Right, right. Where do we go?
The fossil evidence does not point to gradual evolution from lower forms of life to higher forms of life, from apes to men. You know, God created apes, and God created human beings. And we have fossil evidence of extinct kinds of apes, as well as we have evidence of the apes that live today. And there's a certain amount of variation in the ape kind, even as there are a certain amount of variation within humankind. But humans are humans and always have been, going back to creation. And apes have always been apes and are not turning into something other than apes. And that's both scientific and biblically accurate and true.
And it's so important for us to keep that clear and not just use our imaginations to come up with history.
Exactly. And not to use our imaginations in such a way as to try to explain where we came from without God, which is ultimately what the theory of evolution is about. Molecules to man evolution isn't about real science. You know, it's speculating about the distant past and trying to figure out where we came from and trying to find a way to explain where we came from without God, without bringing a supernatural being into the equation, as if life could arise from non-living matter, as if simple forms of life could gradually, by little bitty incremental changes, become more and more complex until you see all the complexity and variety of life that we have today. That's basically the story of evolution, and it doesn't work. It's neither scientific nor biblically accurate. And for us as Christians, you know, who are concerned about believing in Jesus Christ and proclaiming the truth of Jesus Christ, see what's happened with the teaching of evolution becoming so predominant in our culture, in our schools, in museums, and television and other documentaries and newspapers and magazines, is that it has led people to think the Bible is a fairy tale. The Bible is not worth listening to. And so failing to listen to the Bible, they often will not listen to especially the truth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who died for us and rose again to save us from our sins. You see, if there was no creation, if there was no Adam and Eve, if there was no fall into sin, if we had death before any presumed fall into sin, then that undermines the whole teaching of the Bible, of God's plan of salvation, that he sent Jesus, who was the seed of the woman, Jesus who was the last Adam, who came to undo what the first Adam did. Where Adam transgressed and brought sin and death into the world, Christ came and was perfectly obedient and brought life and salvation. And you know, people fail to realize that, you know, if you buy into this molecules to man evolution, it actually goes against the Christian gospel and is really incompatible with it. And so we would hope our listeners would be discerning. You don't need to be afraid of science. You don't need to be afraid of scientific research. You don't need to be afraid of debate. You know, it says, as we hope people will see in a couple of weeks when Ken Ham debates Bill Nye on this, that you can be a confident Bible-believing Christian and realize that God's Word stands the test of time, and that really evidence, whether you're talking about historical evidence or scientific evidence, is on the side of the Bible and the truth of that God has already expressed so clearly in the words of the prophets and the apostles, and especially the message of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Well, Pastor, it is about time for us to wrap up. We've got a couple of stories that we didn't get to today, but we'll certainly get to next week if we can, if we can get to those. I know we've always got great information to cover. Thanks so much, Pastor Wirth, for taking the time to talk with us this morning.
My pleasure.
God's blessings to you.
God bless you.
Coming up in the next hour, we'll join together for morning prayer. Stick around for more right here on His Time on listener-supported Worldwide KFUO.